Hello, friends. Welcome back to the More or Less with ANS podcast. We are your hosts.
I'm Amber.
And I'm Sarah. And today we'll just be talking a little bit about the questions you guys asked on Instagram that has to do with how we met, our high school experience, and a little bit about trauma.
Yeah, just like we wanted to talk about like anxiety maybe and like, yeah, I don't know.
The anxiety we get like from trauma.
Yes. So where do we start?
So first off, a little bit about how we met. So basically on my end, then I just went into high school. It was terrifying because I had just went into a new high school where no one knew me. And I didn't know if there was anybody that I knew. And it was, like, at lunchtime. And I had gotten my lunch. And then I saw Amber and one of her friends sitting there on the steps of the cafeteria. And they were like, hey, what did you say?
I said something like, oh, are you Sarah Jeffs? Because I didn't know, like, I don't know. I didn't know what she wanted to be called because she was, like, her username on Instagram was Sarah Jeffs. And then they're like, the other handle was Sarah Thompson, so I was like,
yeah, it's just because my stepdad had just adopted me, so, yeah, I wasn't, like, legally that, like, on my social security card or whatever, but I guess in the court on my adoption papers I was.
Yeah, and I had heard through the Vine that she was coming to the school, and so, like, I think I had texted her on Instagram, like, a week before or something. Do you remember?
No, it was, like, that day, I think, because then I went home and I saw it on Instagram.
Yeah, I can't remember if it was a week or, like, a day or two before, like, we got to school.
Yeah, something like that.
But basically, she approached us on the stairs, and then we were like, yeah, you can sit with us. But we were so awkward.
No, literally same. I tried to pretend that I wasn't awkward and, like, would go, like, I would sit with them, and then I would go sit at other tables, and it was just so weird because I was the loner kid, and nobody knew me. I didn't know anyone. I guess it was just really weird at first because you're trying to make friends and, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, that's kind of how it was for me. Like, if I didn't have Sarah or my other friend, then I would have been, like, pretty much a loner.
Yeah. Yeah, so basically after, like, that summer, we didn't do that much together. We went to the lake a couple times together and stuff, but we weren't just that close. But then I think junior year is when it just became, like, mandatory that we be close.
Yeah. Like, we were like, okay, well, everything's, you know, we're a package now. But the summer of sophomore year, for whatever reason, I thought her mom didn't like me. And so I didn't ever dare hang out with her.
Yeah. And my mom loved her. And she was always like, hey, why don't you ever hang out with Amber? And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know.
Yeah, we just, I don't know. We had our anxieties, speaking on the topic of anxiety.
Yeah. And then we got, like, separation, what is it called?
Separation anxiety.
So, basically, we had every class together because we would, like, talk to my counselor, and he was, like, he knew both of us.
Yeah. So,
and he really liked us. Just, like, he loved to help us with, like, therapy and stuff. And so we would talk to him, we'd be like, can you, like, move our classes together?
Yeah, technically he wasn't my counselor, but he knew me since ninth grade, because he was, like, one of the people that helped me a lot. Like,
he's kind of like the school therapist.
Yeah, he's like a school counselor.
But yeah, and he also used to be the principal. But, yeah, so we put all our classes with each other's classes, and then, like, this is just an example, but, like, so if one day then I called and said or something and I was like, Amber, I have a really bad migraine, can't go. Then she would be like walking inside the school.
I'd be like, okay, I guess I can't go either. I'd turn around and literally, like, I'd be in the school and be like, yeah, actually, I don't feel very good, so I gotta go. And, like, teachers would always be like, do you guys ever show up without each other? Like,
exactly, because once in a while, then I would be, like, clear inside the class, and then Amber would text me, like, I can't show up today, or I actually had to go to my dentist appointment or something, and I'd be like, ooh, well, can't go now, and the teacher would be like, where's your other half?
Yeah, they pretty much just always knew that we were always together, and it was a very rare occasion when we would show up without each other.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But this was mostly, like, senior year, junior year, that's when we kind of, like, formed our attachment.
Yeah.
Like, we started spilling and trauma dumping on each other.
And realized, like, how, like, similar we were, I guess. Yeah.
And we shared a lot of the same struggles and stuff, so.
Yeah.
But the next thing we kind of want to talk about was, like, our anxieties and, like, the anxiety that stemmed from trauma.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of that anxiety is, like, men. Just because, like, for me, I didn't grow up around any guys. Like, even my own brothers, they had a completely separate hall, like, a completely separate wing in the house, and no girls were allowed in there. Except, like, the specific mothers that were over, like, caretaking those boys. And even, like, my own full brother, I only really saw him when the raid happened. And not really much after that. And then after that, when we went into hiding, then it was mostly, like, sometimes I would go, like, 6 years without seeing him. Would not even recognize him. It was, like, yeah, hardly ever got to see him. We lived in, like, all girls or all boys' houses, so I guess it's understandable, in a way, like, why I'm so scared of men.
Yeah, definitely. And I think a lot of that fear comes from the caretakers as well, because, like, the man over the house is, like, a very important person, and, you know, you always are trying to please them, because basically if you don't please them, that report gets back to the bishop, and supposedly the bishop reports it to the prophet, or God can see what you're doing all the time, so.
Yeah, and also, this is kind of dark, but there were reports of, like, some of the male caretakers, like, getting some of the people that they were over, like, the 13-year-olds and stuff, and making them, like, do sexual things to them.
Yeah.
And it was, like, really disgusting, of course.
So you never knew who to trust, like.
Yeah, it's like, and, like, with my own father, he would always be like, boys are snakes, like, never, and he would do messages specifically for the girls, like, never look at a boy, never think about a boy, you know, like, save yourself for this man that I give you to that could possibly be 3 times older than you. He didn't say that, but, I mean, it's true, literally.
He would say, like, a mature priesthood man or something,
yeah,
like that, but which, that means an older man.
That so. Probably already has, like, 26 wives plus, if not more.
So, yeah, it's not, like, we just would just expect the worst, you know, but also realizing that it was the priesthood thing to do, the right thing to do.
Yeah.
So you don't question.
And just, like, hoping against hope, I guess, if that makes sense, that we would marry someone around our own age.
Yeah. So, I mean, my situation was kind of similar to Sarah's, like, the boys' house and the girls' house, we usually had separate houses. And when we did live together, the boys lived in a separate wing of the house. And my brothers, or one of my brothers, got, like, sent away when he was 14. And I didn't see him for, like, 3 years. And then he came back, and then he left. And so I didn't see him for a lot of years. Like,
yeah.
Boys were just, like, not in the young girls' lives at all.
Yeah, especially the older boys. Like, after the raid, then one of my older brothers, like, he used to be one of my favorite brothers. Now he's not, because he's creepy. But he would, like, you know, the family was all back together. So we would hug each other, and we were like, yay, you know, like, we're all home. And then there was a big, like, message sent from Father, like, a big correction. And it was telling everyone, like, we had been way too touchy and, like, literally just hugs and handshakes because we were so happy to be back together. But, yeah, that made us all just distance ourselves so much because it was, like, kind of a scary correction.
Yeah. The amount of, like, no physical touch was, like, mm-hmm. I don't know.
The amount that he bore it into our minds.
Yeah.
Like, basically, he would say, you had an evil thought about a guy, so, you know, go in your room for a week. Or, like, have your caretaker put you in a room for a week. Or restrict you being able to see, like, your sisters or literally any other guys. And with me, he did that so freaking much. I got so, like, used to it, but so sick of it because I never knew what he said I had done wrong. He also had us, like, do these, what are they called? The letters.
Confession letters?
Yeah, confession letters. And so basically, whenever I had even thought about a guy or getting married or anything, I had to, like, put it in there, and then he would use it against me. So, like, thanks for that.
Yeah, the thing with me is, I started writing confession letters when I was 7, and, like, I never got a response back from them, so I thought that maybe he was coming up with a plan or something to, like, make me a non-member, or that I wasn't good enough to get a response from him. And, I mean, I don't even know if the letters got to him, but I was told that.
We don't even know if he read them all.
Yeah.
There were so, so many.
And there was a lot of letters that did end up going to the bishop's office, and they were never read by Warren. They were read by my stepdad and Lyle.
That's just creepy as hell.
Which is freaking creepy when, like, you know, you're supposed to look up to this person, and he's your dad, and...
And they would sit there and read them and laugh.
They would read your confession letters and things that you had supposedly done that were, like, immoral. Which, I don't know, like, curiosity comes at a young age, and they would shun you for that kind of stuff, so.
Yeah, if you even asked anything. Like, I said the word sex, and it was just using it as, like...
Seconds.
I was like, yeah, I was like, Mom, how many sex do I put the cream cheese in the microwave for? And she was like, oh, do not say that word. And she was, like, worried because she thought, like, she would get in trouble because I said that word.
Yeah, and everything that you said that was, like, even related to, like, that kind of topic, people would always be like, don't you ever say that. And so, obviously, it made you more curious. You're like, why am I not supposed to say that?
Like, you would rack your brain for why I wasn't supposed to say that. Like, what is the reason?
Yeah. So, a lot of crazy stuff. But a lot of the anxiety that we had definitely stemmed from men and, like, pleasing them, like, not being around them, whatever.
Another thing was crowd anxiety, like...
Yeah.
Social anxiety, is that what you call it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just, like, when me, Amber, and I first started going to the gym, it was terrifying for both of us. I mean, we didn't first start going together. I went after her, but... just because there's, like, you know, obviously hot guys and everything, and... just the majority is a lot of, like, really buff guys, and that was terrifying to us at first. Now it's just attractive.
Yeah, and the thing is because, like, what, especially when you haven't grown up around that stuff, you're like, I don't even know how to act. Like, completely honest, how the F do you act around men? Like,
yeah, I'm gonna be completely honest here. Even now, when I look a guy in the eyes, then I will look down and smile. Like,
or just say sorry, natural thing. Just from walking past them, and it's so stupid.
Like, oh, I'm so sorry. Or just weird things.
Like, apologizing for nothing, because, you know, like, basically you pretty much bow down to them your whole life.
And now I just tell myself, honey bunch, this is why you don't have a freaking boyfriend. Like,
yeah.
Because you never look him in the eyes for more than 1 second.
Yeah, and I will be honest on here, too, because, you know, like, I'm an old person. My first experience with, like, a boyfriend or whatever was... literally terrifying. I sat in my room, cried for an hour just because we were going to hang out on the first date, and I just, you know, like, I'd never been around a boy, and so, like, I forced myself to go out of that comfort zone, but, you know, I don't know, like, the freaking fear from guys is insane.
Yeah.
Like, growing up in that place, so.
Yeah, so crazy, like, going into high school, getting used to guys and everything, like, guys asking you out to a dance or something, or... like, tag... No, we're not gonna say that. Just, like, asking a boy to go to a dance with you. It's, like, all these doubts immediately go into your head. Like, oh my gosh, they would never even look at you. You're so ugly. You know? But then you have to just remind yourself that, hey, I am not. I'm worth so, so, so much. I've been through a lot, and look where I am now today. You know, nobody knows who I am because I act fairly normal. So, there's that. Like, I gotta give that to myself, right? I gotta, like,
command exactly. myself. It doesn't, like, it honestly, like, I've realized it doesn't even matter, like, if they don't like you. It more matters if you like them. Like, what do you think about them? What are your opinions of, like, how they treat their mom or how they treat the women in their life? Like,
yes, very much.
And it doesn't, like, I don't know. It's just stupid anxieties, but, you know. Definitely a part of the healing process, or...
Yeah, also a big thing I had to learn, like, the more I started going to the gym and stuff, I had to learn that I really didn't like myself coming out of the FLDS. So now I'm trying to completely, like, be in love with myself before someone else can be in love with me. I mean, I'm sure there's tons of people in love with me.
Yeah.
Kidding.
No, that's, I mean, that's a big part. A lot of people, when they come out of the FLDS, there's, like, such a deeply rooted self-hate. Like, you don't commend yourself for anything. You don't celebrate your little victories. And, like, it's just, I don't know. It's kind of a freeing feeling to actually be proud of yourself for once.
Yeah. And be like, oh my gosh, I am, like, even use the word proud, because that was a word we weren't, like, it was used as bad, you know?
Exactly.
You're supposed to be humble. You're supposed to be submissive. All those things. But, yeah, now more and more, I've come to realize that I have got to love myself before other people can love me. And I'm not going to throw my emotional trauma on a guy that is willing to, like, love me and stuff when they don't deserve that. Like, they don't need to just be carrying me when they have their own stuff that they went through, I'm sure. Because basically everyone has trauma.
Yeah, everyone has some sort of, like, emotional baggage. And so I definitely think that's honestly such good advice, is to, like, you know, work on yourself before you get in a relationship. Heal yourself as much as you can. And when you are ready, like, the right one will come along.
And do not be in a rush. Homegirl here hasn't even been kissed yet, and she's 19, so...
I had one, and, like, I'll just be honest, like, I kind of regret it. Like, I wanted it to be a very special moment, and I don't know. It just... I guess I didn't love myself at the time, so I was, like, super insecure, and...
Yeah. Another reason I think you should love yourself before you get into a relationship is that once they dump you, I don't know, it can...
It's not anyone's loss.
Yeah. Like, or if they do, if something like that happens, it won't just wreck you completely, because you love yourself and you know your worth, you know what you deserve. Look at me giving great advice.
Yep. So that's kind of our TED Talk for today, but we mostly... We were just, like, joking around the other day, and...
And today.
Yeah, and today, and basically every day, like, we do joke about our trauma in a dark
way.
Yeah,
it's dark.
And basically that's how we've gotten our little following on TikTok.
So, yeah, if you're from TikTok, thank you. It's honestly just for fun.
Yeah. So. And somebody, like, came up to me the other day. It was, like, one of my friends from high school, and she was like, dude, like, you're going viral on TikTok. And I just said, well, trauma's paying off. We had a good laugh, but, you know.
And at the gym yesterday, then this girl recognized me, and she's like, are you Amber's friend? And I was like, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I guess it's kind of paying off.
But, yeah, so we are honestly so grateful for, like, the following and the support and whatever. Like, if you're there for the jokes, then, like, thank you as well.
Yeah.
From TikTok.
We will make them. And I'm sorry to the people who get offended, please unfollow me.
Yeah. But, yeah, so that was our TikTok on guys and, you know, anxiety.
Because we know so much about guys.
Yeah, we know tons, man. But basically, the takeaway I would say is anxiety is stupid, but don't let it really rule your life. Like, you can do so much things with things, like... Even when you have anxiety, there's ways to cope with it. I mean, if exercise is your thing, go for it. Like, honestly, that's helped me a lot. And I'll be honest, I've been in a gym slump. And honestly, my anxiety has spiked because, like, you have to find a coping mechanism.
Yeah. And, like, for me, when I was going through a lot of stuff, like, around, like, 3 months ago, then I would, like, everything would just be all on me at just one time, like, in one day. And I would be freaking out, like, with finals and just everything else in life. And, like, some stuff from my siblings. And I was, like, I had been crying and having panic attacks. Guess what she did? She went to the gym. And it was so much better after. I mean, just putting that as, like, using that as motivation is just so much easier to deal with, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. find your outlet, if that's freaking singing or, like, going on a walk or...
Yeah, go to the top of that mountain and just sing your heart out. I don't care if you don't have the most perfect voice. Feel it. Just...
Yeah, and that's... Oh, that's such a big thing, is feeling your emotions. When you bottle them up, the way that they come out is terrifying, because you'll have a panic mm-hmm. attack if you don't just feel your emotions, like...
Yeah, like, the other day, I realized I hadn't cried in a little while, and... I can't remember, it had something to do with guys, but I had a panic attack, and I just went into mom, and if you guys don't know, mom is, like, becoming a nurse, and she was just telling me how to deal with it, and honestly, just go lay down, focus, like, if you need to do something physical, like, put one of your hands on your stomach, one of your hands on your heart, and just breathe, like, think about your heartbeat, like, yeah, I don't know if... describing that, like, helped, but it definitely helped for me to, like, get over the panic attack and then go get Freddy's.
Yeah, if that's your thing.
It's my thing.
But yeah, so basically we have a lot of we have a lot of things, like, emotional baggage, but, like, honestly, talking about it has helped us a lot, so we thank you guys for listening and, you know, taking in our content.
Yeah. And if there's any more advice that you think that we could give, I guess, then please just put it in the comments or DM us on Instagram.
Yes. So, oh, last thing, we were going to answer your guys' questions that you asked on Instagram. Sarah's going to pull up on her phone because we're recording on mine at the time. Somebody asked on our More or Less account, they said, hold on, she's pulling it up.
Yeah, takes just a second.
Takes just a second. I think you can look in the DMs.
I think it's this one. It's the comments. Also, would love to hear more about the sort of hierarchy between different last names. Like, I assume the Jeffs were higher up, and I don't know how the others were, like Barlow, Steed, Allred. I think the highest ones were, like, Jeff, Steed, also because father's middle name is Steed. Timpson was kind of meh.
It kind of just depended on the year, because, like, over time, the last name hierarchy changed a lot, like...
Yeah, like, Barlow's became really bad
for some reason. Yeah, Barlow's and Allred's. The Allred's got sent away.
All the Barlow's got sent away just literally because of their last name or something.
Yeah, we were, like, I was always told my whole life that Barlow was, like, a proud name, and, like, that I was prideful, so, I don't know. So, yeah, the last name thing kind of changed.
There's another question.
They were wondering what's the difference between the FLDS and, like, the Centennialites.
It's kind of like a different religion, I think.
No, it's kind of similar, but the Centennialites broke off in... Uncle Roy's day.
And they drink like crazy.
Yeah.
Not that that's
they
bad.
Still believe in plural marriage. They still have a prophet. They just don't want to follow Warren. So it's a lot similar. I think they have a little bit more lenient dress. I would basically have to ask a Centennialite because I don't really know anyone from the Centennialites. Like, I don't have a lot of relatives from there, but...
Yeah. Yeah, I have a couple down there, but I'm not going to get too much into that topic, I guess. But, yeah, well, if you guys have any more questions, then we are always open, like, seriously, to answer anything. And don't be, don't think we'll be offended, because we will most likely not be. Yeah. We talk about this stuff all the time. But, yeah, thank you for coming to the TED Talk.
And sorry if this episode was kind of all over the place. We kind of lose track of our topics, but, you know, hopefully it helps someone.
Yeah.
Hopefully it just helps someone. That's all I have to say.
All right. We will see you in the next episode. Thank you for listening. Bye.